We are glad that you've chosen to worship with us, whether on site or online. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Carlos. I have the opportunity and the privilege to work here at Hallmark as a student pastor, which means that I work with all of our middle school and high school students. So continue to pray for me, all right? It's just a wonderful opportunity that I have as I get to work with many other young adults and adult leaders that pour into the lives of our students. And I get the opportunity to bring God's message to you, mainly because our lead pastor, Pastor John, as well as our children's director, and three of our members are over in Thailand. All right. They are, I don't know if you've been following with some of the posts and some of the pictures and videos of some of the things that they are doing over in Thailand. And it's just awesome to see a group of people from our family, our church, being able to serve the people of Thailand so well. So continue to pray for them as they wrap up their trip, as well as they make their way back on this long, long journey, all right? They should be back, I believe, Wednesday morning, so we'll pray for them this week. But as we kind of talked about these last couple of weeks, our theme for the year is beyond. Now, I know I've worn several costumes, and I thought about preaching the sermon wearing a Buzz Lightyear costume, but I figured figure that might be too distracting and I might enjoy that way too much. So I decided not to, okay? So I'm sorry for those that wanted to see me in a Buzz Lightyear costume. That's weird. All right, cool. But that's the theme for this year, and you're going to hear it throughout this year because we wanted to kind of set the foundation, set the tone for 2025. And the theme of beyond comes from 2 Corinthians 8, and it says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." The goal for 2025 is to go beyond in our faith, but also in our fellowship. And we've been challenged, and Pastor John and Pastor Nathan have challenged us to not only memorize this scripture, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3, 4, and 5, not only memorize it, but even set our alarms on our phones. Now, the beauty of it is you have two opportunities, right? You could do 8:35 in the morning or in the evening, whatever works best for your schedule. And when that alarm goes off, just to say a quick, short prayer to the Lord, asking him not only for yourself, right, that you would go beyond in your faith and your fellowship, but also an opportunity for us to be able to pray for our brothers and our sisters as a family, that they, us, would go beyond in our faith and in our fellowship. And these past few weeks, we've been looking at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives us. And the beauty of this message is, this is one of Jesus' first recorded messages. And if you have your, you know, special Bible, it's all in red, which means these are very important words. And we've been walking through this to highlight the hallmarks of Hallmark. And this idea of, like, what is the core value of our church, of our people? See, a hallmark is kind of this this mark of authenticity. Like, what marks us as followers of Christ, as a body of Hallmark, as a church? If you're a member of Hallmark, what are the marks that make you a member, that make you who you are? And we've highlighted and kind of comprise them in four. And if you walk around our building, you'll see them. If you hear people talking, this is kind of now our verbiage. This is what we talk about because this is who we are. And we talked about, Pastor John 2 weeks ago mentioned about being biblically driven. This kind of sets the foundation for us. We can't go any further unless we have the foundation of God's word. That we will not adapt the Bible to fit our lives. We will adapt our lives to fit God's word. And then last week we heard from Pastor Nathan about being personally involved, and he reminded us that we can either hide or we can step into someone's story. I love the salt packets, right? I don't know how many of you guys went and used it for lunch or whatever, but you were reminded when you left that we are called to be the salt and light. That we can't hide, but we have to step into the life of people. And then the next two, we're going to be talking about radically generous and outwardly focused. And I have the opportunity to talk about being radically generous. Gets a little tense, right? This is honestly when people start getting a little uncomfortable, right? That eye contact drops. All of a sudden, you get that text message or something, right? Like, oh, Carlos, you better wrap this up. And mainly because when we think of radically generous, let's just be real. Like, our mind goes to finances. Our mind goes to, the truth is, something that we hold dear to us, right? We understand the value of money every 2 weeks, right? On the 15th and the last day, we understand the value of money, of treasure, and so we think that's what we're going to be talking about. But the thing is, being radically generous is so much more than just the finances. See, what I love is to be radically generous means going above and beyond what's expected. A few months ago, Pastor John mentioned this as we were talking about being stewards. You see, being radically generous and being a good steward is about your time, your talent, your treasure, but it's also your testimony and your temple. So as we talk about being radically generous, it's so much more than just the treasure part. And to fully understand what that means, we have to understand that we have to give fully of ourselves in all of these areas. That when it comes to time, to sacrificially give and serve others. When it comes to our talents, to use those talents to glorify God and to serve others. When it comes to our treasure, to give joyfully. When it comes to our testimony, that we would be bold when we proclaim Christ in front of our friends, families, and strangers. And with our temple, that we would honor God with our bodies. So again, it's so much more than just the treasure. So I want you to kind of relax, all right? Because we're going to talk about what it means to be radically generous in every area of our life. What it looks like to go beyond what's expected. So if you have your Bibles, you guys can begin to turn to the Sermon on the Mount, specifically Matthew chapter 5. And as you guys are turning there, I'll give you a little background. So the passage that we're going to be looking at the beginning is what's known or referred to as the Beatitudes. Maybe that's the title that you see right before verse 3. And when it comes to the Beatitudes, the meaning itself comes from, or it's derived from, happy or happiness. Or as scripture actually says when we read the Beatitudes, blessed. Now, I want you to know that when, as we read this, keep in mind, like, this isn't happiness, the feeling of happiness. That when these things happen, that you are going to have happiness, all right? It's a different mindset or a different idea than feeling. It's so much more than that. It actually has that sense of a deep spiritual richness. There is something that's going to happen within you when you do what Jesus tells us to do. That as we live our lives, there's going to be a sense of fulfillment, a sense of spiritual richness as this happens. So keep that in mind as we read Matthew chapter 5. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he being Jesus, up on the mountains, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We'll stop right there. And I think this is interesting to see and kind of just break down, because Jesus just kind of lists several things. Blessed are you. Blessed will be. And you have to understand that as he's telling this, he's teaching to his disciples. He's letting them know, this is what I desire for you. If you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, this is what I desire, what I expect from you. And he's talking to his disciples then, and he's talking to us now. It's this desired character that he wants his disciples to show. And when you have that desired character and you demonstrate it, when you show it, then you will be blessed. When you go out and demonstrate these exact characteristics, you will be blessed by that. So keep that in mind as we kind of walk through this passage, okay? God calls us to reflect his radical generosity by extending mercy, love, and peace to others. So in order for us to begin living this radically generous life, it begins with kingdom character. It begins with kingdom character because we have to realize what God desires for us, how we are called to live our lives. And we're just going to walk through a couple of things. And again, he's showing, speaking to his disciples. First one that he mentions in verse 8 that we're going to highlight is mercy. He lets them know that showing mercy, when you are merciful, you will be blessed. This radical generosity flows from a transformed heart and shaped by the values of God's kingdom. That when your life is changed by the power of God, that you are now able to show mercy. You're able to live out mercy. A generous heart forgives and shows compassion freely. You see, justice and mercy were kind of a significant theme in the Old Testament, okay? I mean, we're only just a few chapters from Old Testament and what Jesus talked about. This was a very big deal in the Old Testament. And then even with Jesus, later on as he continues speaking and teaching, He tells the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his time, that God is more interested. He wants their mercy more than their sacrifice. That he wants their mercy more than their sacrifice. Mercy is compassion in action. It's not only just feeling sorry for someone, but it's stepping into, as we learned last week, their life. Stepping into their life and in their pain and offering forgiveness, kindness, whatever type of help they need for someone that's undeserving of it. People that do not deserve it, those are the people that God is saying to be merciful to. I think maybe as he's speaking, I can't help but think that maybe he kind of has Micah 6:8 in mind. This is what Micah 6:8 says. Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you. To act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with God. You see all that action in there? You see the involvement in people's lives? Radical generosity with mercy means going beyond what is fair or expected and showing grace that mirrors the same heart of God. Then we move on to verse 8 when he talks about the pure in heart. A generous heart is focused on God and not on self. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Isn't that interesting that usually when how we treat people, a lot of times, if not most of the time, it's what's in your heart. So when there's anger, hatred towards people, that's what flows out. And there's a lack of love. But when there's compassion, when there's kindness, when God's in your heart, love will flow out of it. And that love, again, it's not just talking about it, as we're going to learn later on. It's not just, hey, let me just say that I love someone. It's showing that you love someone. As we talk about marriage conference, and I would encourage you to sign up. Again, it's free. It's going to be a great Friday and Saturday breakout sessions. But if I was to tell my wife every day that I love her, but I come home and I don't speak to her, I don't spend time with her, I don't ask her about her day, if my actions do, if I don't even show up, if I don't even show, go back home, I can tell her I love her all I want, but if my actions aren't showing it. And that's what radical generosity means. It means aligning your heart with God's heart. And his love becomes your love for people. That just how he sees people, just how he loves people, you begin to do the same. And then in verse 9, he talks about, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't mind confrontation. I don't mind having disagreements and talking about it. But then afterwards, figuring out, hey, how can we have peace with this area? How can we have disagreements but also have peace? And what this peace that Jesus is talking about, it's talking about seeking reconciliation and not retaliation. It's when there's a disagreement and you want things to be made well as opposed to getting even. Reconciliation, not retaliation. Because peacemaking isn't passive. See, I think a lot of us, think that peace is, I'm just going to ignore it and avoid it. That maybe if I sweep it under the rug, it'll be fine. It'll go away, we'll forget about it, and maybe tomorrow, next week, next year, it'll be fine. But peacemaking is active. It's not just avoiding it. It's going head on and talking and finding out where there's healing that needs to be present. and brought in so that there wouldn't be division. And that wherever, in bringing hope where there might be despair, it's active. Peacemaking is not passive. Romans 12:18, it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you and I, live at peace with everyone. To be radically generous as a peacemaker is going beyond avoiding conflict. It's stepping into it with humility, love, and mercy, seeking restoration, seeking reconciliation. So I want to pose a question to you. I want you to ask yourself and kind of reflect on your life, maybe this past week or maybe this past year in 2024. Am I reflecting or have I reflected God's kingdom values, characters? Am I reflecting God's kingdom when it comes to mercy? How I love others and how I seek peace. But again, as I mentioned, it's one thing to claim these things, like kind of a checklist, right? Kind of like a grocery list, and you go up and down the aisle. Yep, got that. Yep, got that. Same thing with this. When it comes to mercy, love, peacemaking, it's not just about having it. It's about using it, acting on it. I love what Jesus says later on in John 13. It says, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And when you read this passage, the main point, the main aspect of this passage is love. To love someone. But as we're talking about this, it's more than just saying you have it, but acting on it. There's action. How are people going to know that you love one another if they don't see it with their eyes? And so there's more to it. There's action that follows it. I started thinking we're not even 3 weeks into the new year. And I know many of you have made some New Year's resolutions. How many would say, yes, January 1st, I made some resolutions for what I wanted 2025 to be? How many guys? Okay, interesting. About, all right. I asked the students this question on Wednesday, and it was roughly about the same, all right? Not that many. So out of the ones that did raise their hand and you did make a resolution 3 weeks into it, how many are still going strong? Okay, I see a couple. I made sure to put my contacts so I could see. Okay, cool, cool. All right, not as many hands raised. That's fine, that's fine. Cool, cool. But that's the idea, right? We all have really good intentions. We all have what is needed to accomplish whatever goal we set out to do. But sometimes our intentions don't really get us there, right? There's got to be some intentionality of planning, of scheduling, and actually going and doing it. Now, I thought of a New Year's resolution for myself. Now, believe it or not, I was really ahead of it. This was back the end of the summer. I had this brilliant idea, sure. And I remember talking to my wife about this. And I remember telling her, and she's an encourager, okay? If you need words of encouragement, to go to her. Don't come to me, okay? That's low on my gifting, okay? And so I went to her, and I threw this idea out. And again, I was expecting, like, babe, that's really good. Like, all right, go for it. Instead, I got this puzzling look where she said, is there something else? I kind of, again, I took a step back. I said, okay. Okay. I was like, maybe she's right. Maybe I need to rethink this. And I, again, thought about it some more, prayed a little bit. I said, well, let me go talk to my boss. Let me go talk to Pastor John. I kind of want to run it by him because it had to do with, again, the church. And so I was like, let me go. And when I went to him, I'll be honest. I was expecting the same. I was hoping that he would have the same reaction my wife did, so I could be like, okay, I'm dumb. I'm not thinking about it. I'll do something else. But Pastor John was different. He's also an encourager. He's like, man, that's a really good idea. Ask me what my plan was, all this. So this is roughly around like September, October. I was like, okay. I was like, well, he's for it. I'm like, maybe I need to. And so I began planning, and my New Year's resolution is to run a marathon this year. Now, please, just applaud that I survive, okay? How about that? Let's applaud that, okay? Now, if you know a little bit about me, I'm getting to the point where I am turning 40 at the end of this year, which is a big milestone. I feel old, okay? But with this idea, I wanted to do something, but I wanted to go, again, beyond myself. I didn't want to do something just for marathon's sake so that, oh my gosh, look at what, no. I wanted to tie it in with something that's close and dear to my heart. I've been in student ministry since I've been in ministry for over 15 years. I went to school for this. I've dedicated my life to it mainly because God changed my life when I was a student. It was the love, the encouragement, the impact that my church, my student pastor, and my leaders had in my life. Radically changed my life. Because without them, I wouldn't be standing where I am today. And as I thought about God, like, what do you want me to do? My life, I wanted to be an accountant all my life. Like, growing up, I loved numbers, I loved making money, and I didn't like people. I was like, this is perfect. Like, I'm just gonna go into this, okay? And as I started prepping my junior and senior year, I was like, this doesn't fulfill me. I don't feel blessed by this. And as I started looking for God, God just revealed, like, pour yourself the same way others did in your life into students. And so what I wanted to do with this race, with this marathon, is I wanted to not only run, but also wanted to raise money for our students to be able to go to camp this year. And I don't want to just pay for part of it. I want to pay for their whole way to go to camp. And so the goal is to race to 40. I want to raise $40,000 through our church and through my friends and family to be able to send 100 students to go to camp. Because I've seen the impact of camp. You guys have seen and witnessed some of the decisions, some of the students, and how lives have been changed by camp. That I want to provide that not only for our students, but their friends. Because $400 is a lot of money. And it's hard to ask your friend to go to camp and then say it's $400. Yeah. And so that's the goal. You can, again, pray for me. For those I loved, I posted and made this public on January 1st, and I don't know how many texts or messages I got. I did plan this out, guys. I've been training for a couple of months. I appreciate that you guys were like just hoping that I would survive. I didn't just like roll out of off the couch and like, oh, I probably should do this. Like, no. There's been planning. There's been training. So I appreciate that. But again, with you, I would like to invite you to be a part of it. There's the QR code on the screen on your handout. You can give to that. It's going all to the students and all to the church. And that's the goal. And you can partner with us and me in prayer. Sunday, February 23rd is when the race is. So when you don't see me here, hopefully you'll see me the next Wednesday or next Sunday because I survived it. If not, I love you guys. It's been a heck of a ride, all right? But Again, this idea, and I say it to you, for one, publicly, because I want to be held accountable, right? I love that for those that know about it, you've been asking, how's your training? How's your pace? I had a very athletic student ask me, hey, what's your goal time? I said, looked up to finish. That's my goal. I don't have a goal time, all right? Thanks, Diego. But I say this because, again, there's got to be action to it. You can't just tell me you have mercy, love, and peacemaking in you if you do not show it. Because, again, radical generosity goes beyond what is expected. And what I love about Jesus is he gives this at the beginning of his message. And later on in chapter 5, he gives us tangible examples for them to live out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, it says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him also. As for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. God calls us to reflect his radical generosity by extending mercy, love, and peace to others in ways that go beyond what's expected. See, Jesus' teachings, as he said, you have heard it said, but I say. See, his teachings were contrary to his day. Let's be honest, it's contrary to our day. It's contrary to our human reaction, our human nature. Even just right off the bat, when he says, if someone slaps you, right? Our natural tendency is to buck, right? To get, what'd you do? And I want you to, as I was studying this, this really, really spoke to me. Because the first part that it says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek. And when you look at, again, you kind of act it out. Most people are right-handed. And not only was a slap a hurtful blow, but back then being slapped with the back of someone's hand was an insult. It was disrespectful. So not only was he saying if you get slapped, if you get hurt by someone, but not only physically, but socially, emotionally, that they disrespect you so much that they give you the back of their hand, you turn the other cheek. Man, this is a legit example of when people hurt us, do we show mercy, love, and peace in those instances? When not only do they hurt you with their words, but now they're disrespectful. I love the saying, right? Nothing personal, but it becomes personal. And all of a sudden, those are moments in your life that now you have to put mercy, love, and peacemaking into action. That you overlook the wrongs of someone that is undeserving, and you show them mercy. Because radical generosity chooses grace over revenge. Peter says in Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Not only that, but radical generosity lets go of personal rights for the sake of others. See that second part where it says if someone sues you for your shirt, you give him your coat. That's this idea that whatever is being asked of you, that you go above and beyond what is expected. This idea that in order for me to give you my shirt, I have to take my jacket off. Man, you can have that too. You can have this too. Whatever is being asked of you because your love for God is the same as his love for others. That when something's being asked, that you do more than what is required. And then that last part where it says, if someone asks you to go a mile, you go with him too. Now, again, in our day and age, like, I'm not asking you to run the marathon with me, okay? I appreciate that. Moral support, yeah. But I want you to know what exactly is happening here, because this is kind of that next step. You're talking about if someone slaps you, if someone sues you, we're talking in a sense peers right now. We're talking acquaintances, friends, people you know. But this one kind of takes a different approach. See, because in the context of the Jews at this time, they're under oppression. They're under Roman rule. And so the Romans are not looked to very kindly. They're hated. They're the enemy. That's why when Jesus comes, as we celebrate in Christmas, when he comes, no one was expecting Jesus in that form. They were looking for a warrior. And we see that in Revelation later on, how he's going to come down as a warrior, because they were looking for him to save them from the Roman oppression. And the law required that if a civilian was asked to carry a military luggage for someone, that they would have to obey and walk with them 1 mile. And so when Jesus says this, when someone asks you to walk a mile, you go above and beyond. You walk two. But now we're talking about the enemy. Now we're talking about the ones that not a lot liked. They were hated. And this is what Jesus says. As Paul reminds us in Galatians 6, do not grow weary in doing good. Let us do good to all people. I think what's interesting is these are some of the first words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And you have to understand, these disciples are sitting there listening, and for them, this is all new to them, right? If you look at chapter 5, you've heard it this way, but I say this. You've heard this, but I... This is all radical. This is all new to them. But we have the privilege to know the end of the story. Because these aren't just words that Jesus spoke. They were actions that he lived and died. See, we have the opportunity to look at the beginning of his story and the end of the story, and we see that these weren't just words for him. This is who he was. He lived it out for us. Because Jesus is the ultimate example of radical generosity. That when he came to this earth, he showed mercy to those that are undeserving. He showed love by laying his life down for us. He showed peace by giving us the opportunity to be reconciled with God. These aren't just words. These are actions that he lived by. He showed to us. He was the example to us. And so I know for many of you, you're sitting here and you know this Jesus. You've experienced that mercy, that love, that reconciliation. And you know what this is about. And you get to celebrate it every single day. We get to come together on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings, and celebrate what he's done corporately. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking back on the day that you gave your life to Jesus. And you can't help but think that exact moment, how your life truly changed. I still remember, I was in eighth grade. It was after church. In the second place that my mom and I moved into in New York City, in Rego Park, New York, 63rd and Fitchett Street, sitting in that basement with my mom and my dad leading me to the Lord that night. From there, my life has been radically different. For you, if you've had that moment in your life has been radically different. But I also know that there's some in here that something brought you here. God led you here. Maybe it was an invite. Maybe it was a social media post. Maybe you saw the lettering, the banners, and you came in because there's more to life. The good, the bad, and the ugly have brought you to this point where you can experience that radical generosity. That before you live it out, that you experience it for the very first time. Here at Hallmark, we use the ABCs of salvation. We talk about that A, you must admit that you're a sinner. You must admit, as Scripture says, that we are sinners destined to hell, separation from God. That there is nothing that you can do to get to God. That before you can know the good news, you have to know the bad news. The B, that you must believe that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for my sins, for your sins, and 3 days later came back to life. Believe in what he did because you can't do anything. And C, confess Jesus as Lord. Confess that he is Lord of your life. Confess that he is the one that gives you life. And with those three steps, it allows you to know for sure that you will spend eternity with God. That radical generosity is not something that we just talk about. It's something that we live out, just like Jesus lived out for us. So I want to close our service today in prayer. And I just want to give you an opportunity, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus and walk with him every step of the way, that maybe today would be the day that you make that decision. I would ask you to pray. Father, forgive me for being a sinner, for thinking that I can get to you and do enough good deeds or come to church or give. Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die in my place and live the life that I should live. And Lord, I confess you as Lord. Confess you as Lord of my life, of every part of my life. I would encourage you, if you said that prayer this morning, you can scan that QR code in front of you and just let us know. We want to celebrate you coming from death to life You being made new because of Jesus. Or maybe you can go find the person that invited you and tell them the good news, or come find me in the front. We would love to celebrate. But for the rest of us, maybe today we need to be reminded that radical generosity isn't about giving leftovers, it's about giving our best. Your mercy, your love, your peace, in ways that points others to Jesus. So let me ask you, where is God calling you to be more merciful? Where can you bring peace? And how can you love in a second mile kind of way? Living radically generous lives reflect the gospel in action. It shows the world a generosity that can only come from a changed, transformed life. Father, I pray that we would seek you and seek the mercy that you've shown us, seek the love that you've shown us, seek the peace that you've given to us. And as we truly have those things in us, that you would show us opportunities, that you would show us areas in our life that we need to show mercy, show love, and bring peace into it.